Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is about the final report of the Commercial Activities Panel. And our guests are Colleen Kelly, the National President of the National Treasury Employees Union, and Stan Soloway, the President of the Professional Services Council. One of the things that came up in the last segment, and is clear in the report, are there are 10 sourcing principles. And these talk to about, and these were agreed unanimously by the 12 panel members, so I'd like to highlight a couple of them. Sourcing principle number 6 talks about that there shouldn't be, I believe, arbitrary FTE or numerical goals for contracting out or outsourcing. I'm curious about this, and I'm wondering, does this mean the panel really pushed back against the administration's view that certain percentages of jobs should be contracted out?
We're going to have a disagreement on this. First of all, where we did agree, and I think it's very critical, is that principle links to the very first principle, which says sourcing across the board. And I point out that you read earlier the mandate for the panel. What the panel decided was that the mandate was not an outsourcing question. It was a question of sourcing. We didn't use the word insourcing or outsourcing. We were looking broadly at the question. And so to that extent, we slightly altered what the congressional language was, if you will, establishing the panel. But the first principle to which everybody agreed was that sourcing policy needs to be based on a strategic look at mission need, mission focus, outcomes, and so forth. When we talk about arbitrary numerical goals, quotas, I think that every member of the panel, at least as far as I can tell, every member of the panel agree that arbitrary FTE ceilings are a bad idea. They are not smart management. And frankly, as much input on that came from private sector witnesses, whether they were government contractors or not, but people who understood the outsourcing question, the sourcing question. No company does that. They don't arbitrarily say you can have 15 people before they've even figured out what it is they do, how they want to do it, what they're trying to get to, and so forth. I think we all agree that arbitrary FTE ceilings or ceilings of any kind like that, quotas of any kind, without some considered thought and analysis are inappropriate. Now, the question has been raised by a lot of people, is this a direct shot at the president's management agenda and his competitive sourcing goals? I would argue it's not, because I think there is a significant substantive difference between an arbitrary goal or quota that presumes the outcome. In other words, it presumes you're going to outsource or presumes you're going to insource, as opposed to a goal that simply is trying to impose or inject the use of what I think the panel widely agreed, as covered in other principles, is one of the great management tools, which is competition, where you have competition and you can use it as a driver for high performance. So I think there's a significant difference between an arbitrary quota that presumes outcomes, FTE ceilings, arbitrary limits on contracting, I mean, whatever it is. I think that's one thing, but it's very different than the use of a management tool, trying to bring a management tool to where it doesn't currently exist. So I don't think it necessarily is a shot at the president's management agenda. Others, and I suspect Colleen will speak to this, actually think it is because they see the linkage differently.
Colleen, let me ask you about that.
I actually think it was a very important principle and a very important message to the administration, because what was very disappointing was when this panel was convened by legislation to look at the question of sourcing. In fact, the administration had a 15% goal out there mandated for every agency to meet by 2003 to competitively source 15% of the positions on the fair list. It gave no consideration to what other issues the agency might be facing if they were going through major reorganizations, if they had other management issues, employee issues, issues that the American public would be very interested in. It took none of that into consideration. And even while this panel was convened, the administration did not back off of the 15% goal. And I think that was wrong, because it sent a very clear signal to me that they didn't really care much what this panel said, that they were going to issue their management agenda and target the 15%, regardless of the advice, the counsel, or the wisdom of this panel that was convened by legislation. So for me, this was a very important principle. And the other disappointing thing to me was, which you will hear from me often throughout this as we get from principles down to the recommendations, is that I agree with the principle wholeheartedly, but it didn't go far enough when it came to the recommendations to take any kind of an action or recommend action to stop the 15%.
You know, if I could just add one thing, actually, in many ways, I actually fully agree with Colleen relative to the president's competitive sourcing goals, in the sense that I'm not a big fan of those kinds of quotas and goals, of even to bring competition, because as Colleen said, you need to, in each agency, it's going to be different, and it's going to focus on agency missions, human capital capabilities, where they're going as an agency, and so forth. And for some, it might be 40%. Others, it might be 5%. It depends on what the agency's requirement is. I think the problem is, in this particular issue, and frankly, this is not a case where the panel had a lot of active, specific discussion. But the problem clearly is, in my view, that we haven't had across the board this kind of, as a friend of mine who just recently retired from federal service says, belly button contemplation going on enough. And so what the administration is trying to do is as a more a forcing function as than as an arbitrary assumption of where the work's going to be performed. Ideally, you wouldn't have these quotas because this would be something that was done as a matter of routine and course. I don't believe personally that it's being done enough, and I'm not going to suggest that it's a great idea, but I think in the circumstances of what they were trying to accomplish, it made some sense. But the other piece is that the goal for 2002, I believe, was 5% competitive. That doesn't mean that it's going to be outsourced. It means the presumption is that the bulk of this is going to be publicly, privately competed. And for 2003, another 10%, so it gets you to the 15%. 5% is a pretty small cut of, this is 5%, not of all federal positions. This is only 5% of those positions identified in the FAIR Act inventories that have been, exist in the subcategory of those that are commercially available. We're talking about 5% of, I think it's, what's the number, 400,000 total government.
No, it's 5% of 850,000
I'm sorry, you're right. It's 5%
jobs.
Of the FAIR Act inventory. I apologize. You're right.
It's 42,000 jobs is 5%.
But across 30-some-odd agencies. I mean, my point is that I don't know that that's such an enormous hit. It's not like saying everybody has to be competed the first year or two and so forth. But we do have a disagreement on that.
Let me move off the president's management agenda back to the sourcing principles. Number 10 talked about accountability. And I'm curious, what did the panel have in mind here?
Well, I would say it's fair to say there was a disagreement when you got to the details. NTU believes there needs to be more accountability on work that is contracted out of the federal government. We have proposed and supported legislation in the past to make that happen. We were hoping for some additional specifics and support from this panel on that issue. When I think of experiences that we have had with, and this is not to imply that all contracts result in action like this, but a very visible contract that was not properly monitored and managed, and there was no accountability, or this couldn't have happened, was the Mellon Bank lockbox problem with the IRS, where over 70,000 tax returns were shredded and $1.2 billion in tax receipts were destroyed or lost. And this was done by a contractor, and it took entirely too long for the agency to figure out this was happening. I attribute that to a lack of accountability, monitoring, not having the systems in place, not having a workforce in place to appropriately be trained and to monitor. This is true from an acquisition standpoint of acquisition staff to look at the competition issue and to appropriately run not arbitrary quotas of competitions, but what would be an appropriate competition to determine the best value for federal employees and for the federal taxpayers, which is really what this is all about. So when I think about the Mellon Bank situation, it highlights for me the need for this principle and the need to stay focused on it and not to allow a system that has no accountability to just let a contract and then not monitor it and hold the contractors accountable as federal employees are held accountable. So for me, this principle and for NTU was one that it's the beginning, but it is not the end of this discussion.
Were there other dimensions of accountability?
Well, my perspective on it is that the principle, I agree entirely with Colleen that it's a critical principle and secondary to the issue of the first level decision of strategy and human capital and so forth, you have to have a system that provides accountability. I think the key here is that accountability cuts both ways. I'm not going to defend the Mellon Bank situation. I don't know have all the facts. Colleen knows it far better than I do. But we certainly have tremendous internal accountability problems. It's not just a question of accountability of people, although that's an issue constantly a challenge for anybody in business, whether it's government or a company or what have you. We had 700 and some odd Navy employees who abused the credit card. All of them, some of them have been promoted since rather significant abuse. I'm not suggesting that that's an indictment of the federal workforce. It's an issue both ways. And I think what GAO in its own studies and analyses, independent of the panel, has identified is a whole series of areas where we have issues. We clearly have contract administration challenges in government. And I've been probably as strong and outspoken an advocate for much more aggressive training and opportunities for the acquisition workforce. At DOD, we spent 3 years fighting with various members of Congress who wanted to have arbitrary reductions in the acquisition community, even though we were having increased workloads and increased complexity of work for them. At the same time, we have tremendous internal financial management challenges, human capital management challenges, general management challenges in government. The Senate Government Affairs Committee and others have talked about sort of a crisis of management. And I think what the principle clearly states is that whatever your sourcing process is, it has got to have an accountable tail to go along with it, whether it be internal or external. Frankly, I don't believe, obviously Colleen and I disagree on this, that contractor work is unaccountable. The vast majority of it, according to the federal data systems, is competitive. There are clearly issues that have arisen. Inspector General reports or GAO reports have identified problems, the Mellon Bank situation. And we could play tit for tat on that all day and look at internal versus external. The key point is that competition, I think the panel generally agreed, is a very good, and as Colleen alluded, is a very good guarantor of ongoing performance. And you need to use that tool wherever possible to keep people's feet to the fire, whether they be organic federal organizations or contractors.
That's a good stopping point. Stick with us through the break as we continue our conversation about the final report of the commercial activities panels with panel members Colleen Kelly and Stan Solid. This is the Business of Government Hour.